Invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Lord God, God of the universe, Lord, we know that you are ever more ready to forgive, to heal than we ever to ask. So, Lord, I pray that you anoint your servant. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts, Lord, truly be acceptable to you. Amen. Back to the first slide, please. I just want you to prepare your hearts as you prepare your hearts to receive God's word. Just to let you know that some of the slides, can I have the first slide? Very first slide, please. Jesus still heals. This slide is to help us to prepare ourselves to listen to God's word. Many times, Jesus still heals today, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still heals. But it needs faith, right? Second slide, you need faith to believe in him. Now, what is faith? Really, I found these few words very meaningful. Faith is not hoping that God can. But what is faith? Next slide. It is knowing that, to know that he will. And this is what we're going to do this evening, to believe that God is able. It is to know that he can and he will heal us. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. God can heal our brokenhearted. Next slide. If we give him the various pieces, he's ever willing to forgive and to heal. But all the small pieces we need to handle to him. You see, the Bible says, when cast all your cares upon him, and for he careth for you. And I heard that this is not only a promise, it's truly a command that we cast everything to him. It's just like I take a bunch of key and I'll pass it to James, who is not being attracted. I pass it to James, and James will catch the thing, and the key doesn't belong to me anymore. So this is what it is. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, but he needs to us to give him all the little pieces, then he can join it together. It's like, while on earth, Jesus healed all who came to him. Jesus healed all who came to him through the power of the cross. He still does it today. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, tells us, he, which is Christ himself, bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might die to sin first and live to righteousness. And the most famous one is, by his wounds or by his stripes, each one of us, you have been healed. God can take the brokenhearted and make it whole again. This is what we need to do, and I pray that throughout this service, this will be our prayer. Lord, I bring my burdens to you. You know my situation, and you know I cannot make it without you. Comfort my heart and give me strength and help me to carry on. This couple of verses in Luke, I find it very interesting. Sometimes we think that, Jesus just healed the mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law. Simple things. Fever. Actually, fever is not just a simple thing. Verse 38 says, then Jesus got up, left the synagogue after his teaching, and probably he was, by that time, was quite late. He was hungry, and he entered Simon Peter's house to have a meal with Simon Peter. Probably Simon Peter invited Jesus to come. Maybe he has another ulterior motive to bring Jesus to his house, having a meal, and ask Jesus to heal the mother-in-law. We don't know. The scripture didn't say so. But it says that Jesus got up from the synagogue, entered into Simon's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help. And they asked him to help her. Now, I was wondering why this is so significant about the words of Luke. The three Gospels wrote this, but why is it so significant? So why is it so special about Luke saying, because the other Gospel says the mother was suffering from fever, but Luke says a high fever. Now, to get a picture, we must remember that Luke was a physician. He was a doctor, and he understands what a high fever caused. In Colossians chapter 4, it indicates that Luke, the beloved physician, greets you. So he is a physician, and he writes from a doctor's perspective. Other Gospels just say that mother-in-law has a fever, but here Luke says a very high fever. Right? He writes that Simon, and then Luke reports this healing of Peter's mother-in-law with amazement from a perspective of a doctor. He writes that Simon's mother-in-law was sick with literally a mega fever, a very high fever. And Luke knew that what a high fever meant and the seriousness of it. For us, baby having high fever, we are so worried about it. It may develop into meningitis or other things. But this is a very specific, Luke said, high, very high fever. No matter how high the fever was, Jesus could cure her. Right? Here, Luke, the doctor, was doing... Here, Luke entered together with the rest of the disciples into Simon's place, and being a doctor was doing nothing at all. But Jesus took over as a doctor's position by standing over the patient, which is the mother-in-law. Now, I wonder, when I read this, I wonder how long Jesus stood there. Right? How long he stood there, and what was in Luke's mind? Hey, here I am, a physician, and here you are, you call a carpenter's son to do things. Why don't you approach me? I believe that Luke has nothing with him. Being a physician, being a doctor, but yet he cannot do anything. It's such a wonderful experience that we are told that Jesus do nothing, right? Except he spoke a word, just spoke a word, and the sickness, high fever, left the mother-in-law. With the command, the fever left. There was no prescription given to Peter to get the medication for the mother-in-law, nothing at all. I remember the Chinese always, the Chinese physician, after seeing, taking the pulse, will write prescription, and they have to go to the herb, the medication shop, medical shop to get it. Here, no. There was no prescription, just a word from Jesus, rebuke. Now, a fever or high, in this case, very high temperature, is not by itself an illness. It's not an illness. It is usually, as being a nurse last time, it's usually a symptom of underlying condition. Most often, it's an infection. There must be some infection in Peter's mother-in-law that causes the fever to rise so high. And if it is not controlled, the fever would jump very, very high. And it is really dangerous. Depending on age, actually, physical condition and the underlying cause of fever, one may not or may not require medical attention for the fever alone. But in this case, Peter's mother-in-law was lying on the bed. It was too weak. The fever was so serious that she can't even get out of the bed and needed a doctor's attention. Yet they did not approach Dr. Luke, but Jesus. So Peter's mother-in-law must have been some kind of infection in her that causes the fever to rise so high. How many days she has been lying there? The scripture did not say, but very high. So Peter's mother-in-law must have some kind of real bad infection in her. Now, Luke, being a doctor, stressed that it was a very high fever, and I want to stress it, high fever. Something must have gone wrong in her, and Jesus knew it. Caused her to lie on a bed, unable to perform her daily routine. But the people there did not seek Luke, but turned to Jesus. They asked him to help her. The people turned to the great physician for healing, and the healing was immediate, very immediate. The high fever left her immediately. She didn't lie in bed for the fever to subside. It left immediately. And let us think of it. Fever, sometimes we take Panadol. It takes maybe half an hour to 1 hour for the thing to subside. And we sponge, we put all sorts of things. But this was immediate, right? She didn't lie there and say, okay, let the fever cool down, and let the temperature go down. Immediately, the fever left her. It was so instant. The healing was so complete, but she wasn't totally exhausted after being bedridden with a high fever. She stood up. All her symptoms associated with fever immediately vanished. That's the most wonderful thing. Vanished, and her strength was gained back. And now let's pay attention to verse 29. It says, what did Jesus do? Okay, they tell her that, ask Jesus to help. And verse 39 tells us, and standing over her, near her, Jesus rebuked, didn't even touch her, just rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. Numerous times in the Bible, when Jesus cast out unclean spirits, he rebuked them. and the spirit came out. So in this case, it seems like he did not ask the fever to leave, but he rebuked the fever. With the rebuke in many of the delivering cases, the spirit is told to be silent and come out. And it happens here, even the fever. Luke places this healing account in, as in Jesus' work with demon-possessed people. He rebuked the fever. Luke recorded in the same way he silenced the demon and removes them. It's the same way as he rebuked the fever to come out. Jesus also silenced many foreign substances that cause high fever in Peter's mother-in-law to be cast out. Luke witnessed the power of Christ's word. The virus or the infection that caused the high fever is rendered powerless and immediately being removed from her body. It says that immediately she got up and hospitality is shown. The same word of Jesus can and will restore the sick person to health. And this is what I'm going to share with us this evening. Peter's mother, you know, did not need a follow-up or take care and rest. No, she immediately got up and served them, completely healed and back to normal. Let's remember that high fever in this case is not just fever. There must be something, could be a kidney, could be something that is infection so bad that it causes the high fever. She got up and waited on them. Jesus is the great physician, and he is God. And I believe he's here in our Anglican ways. The Lord is here. His spirit is with us. Doctor treats. He treats every symptom. But God heals. Jesus stands over us and cares for us in much as the same way he cares for Peter's mother-in-law. In whatever case or situation you are in, Jesus knows what's going on in your body, and Jesus knows what's going on, and he stands over his people, you and I, with his love. Maybe some of us here have been having a sickness, have been so long with us, the doctor has given up, only give us painkillers to subside the pain. Or maybe the doctor has given up hope, and your prognosis is not favorable. Let me share one or two experiences with permission that happens in a Hokkien worship service. There was a man that from another church, the son is from another, brought him, was very sick, admitted to Changi Hospital, CGH. He was in a very, very bad stage, cancer of certain part of the body, and emotionally and physically was dry, right? He was really down. And I visited to him and shared the gospel with him. He accepted the Lord, but he was really bad. He wanted to give up because the doctor says you've got most is 1 year for you to live. But I remember once the way he encountered Jesus was really the great healer, incredible. One afternoon I went to visit him. He told me to look out at the window. He said, "As I look out the window, I saw nothing but just building, Changi Hospital. I think it's one of the 6 floors, very high. I can see only buildings." But he says, "Can't you see the cross over there?" He said, "Hokkien." Said, "There's a cross there." I said, "I know." And then I told the wife, "Look, Kwabo." You know, I said, "No, just to believe." He was so angry, and he's quite a fierce man. He said, "Between the two buildings, there's one big cross there." I said, "Bo, Kwabo. Really, I can't see anything." "How can you not see?" He scolded me. "It's so big." And at the time, the wife and I was really thinking that he must have been hallucinated to me or disoriented after in hospital for so long. But that was the encounter. As I recall now, after months, as I recall, yeah, that was his encounter with the great physician. Saw a big cross, and when none of us saw it, he kept on stressing. And I was trying to calm him down. I said, "Oh, yeah. But he says, "Yes." I think he almost... It was a real cross. I said, "I can't see. Only he can, because he encountered Jesus that afternoon during lunchtime." It was such beautiful. It took me such many months later then I realized that it was a cross. Not hallucination, not something else. The cancer vanished. Doctor gave him 1 year. And today he's still with us, worshiping 3 years, coming to 4 years. You see how God can do things. He encountered, and I pray that this afternoon we will encounter the great healer. Nothing is impossible with him. Man cannot see. I, being a pastor, I can't even see the cross. He saw, and that was the encounter. Healing takes place. This afternoon, maybe yours is not a sickness. And maybe in an area of relationship between spouse, between children, sibling, or maybe some of us, the marriages are on the verge of breaking, and that is your sickness. That is a bondage. Maybe some of you know of someone going through sickness or emotional sickness in the midst of breaking down. Vicarious faith, on behalf of the person, you can come and ask God to heal that someone. Now, I want you to take a moment at what happened in Luke's account of the healing. Verse 40, it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and Jesus laying hands on each of them, he was healing them. Four things I want you to notice in this verse 40. First, the sun was setting. While the sun was setting, the amazing news of Peter's mother-in-law spread very quickly. And the people waited until 6 p.m., which is the Sabbath is over. Then they can start carrying the sick or walk a certain miles in order to get to Simon Peter's house. So they're being restricted. From the after Jesus left the synagogue and went to Peter's mother-in-law, healed, it was sometime before the Sabbath is over. Because as long as Sabbath, the Jewish cannot do anything. They cannot carry people. They cannot carry things. They can't even walk certain. They can't even switch on the light. And they were bonded by this restriction. After the Sabbath, you see, after the sun was setting, then they bring along those, their sick loved ones. And Jesus showed mercy and grace to these people and began to heal them. We can come to Jesus anytime, but why have a healing service? We are not restricted by healing service or create something, but we want to make it an opportunity so that the church can pray together for you, with you, for God's healing. Remember that he is more ready to heal than us to ask of him. We are given this time and we've been praying, we've fasted. Pray for this to receive, all of us receive healing. And somehow or other, we need God's healing. It doesn't mean that later when you come out, you tie a ribbon on the cross, it's something weird with you. No. All of us need healing. And then the second part, all those, firstly, the four things. Can I have the four things? Four things. Firstly, is while the sun was setting. Secondly, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases, all kinds of diseases, sickness, emotional, everything, they were brought to Jesus, right? All those who had, that means everyone, they ever think of Africa, they were brought them to him, and right? Brought them to him. And here we are this afternoon. You have brought someone, or you yourself have come to the cross. And then the last part says, laying his hands on each one of them. We don't know how many gathered at Peter's mother-in-law's house that afternoon, that evening. But Jesus did not miss out anyone. Laying his hands on each one, the word is each one of them. Right. Let me ask all of us here this afternoon this question. That day, was there anyone who came to Jesus that day needing to be healed, that Jesus turned away or didn't heal him? Was there anyone who came that evening to Jesus that day needing healing, but he turned away or didn't heal them? Of course, the answer is no, because he says, laying his hands on each one of them, everyone was healed. Next slide. Jesus, here again, the demons were coming out of many after the healing, shouting, you are the Son of God. And here is the same word. But Jesus rebuking them, didn't even ask them to say anything, rebuking them, he knew he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be Christ. So even the sickness in us, Jesus rebuked it and he will leave. Okay. Next slide. Jesus, I believe with all my heart. Yeah. Jesus heals today. The question is, do you believe? And I think we want. Do you want to receive his touch in your life this afternoon. Right, the next slide. Do you believe? Okay. It's a famous word. Surely, Jesus took up our pains and bore our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, stricken and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let's look at other slide concerning faith. Now, faith is, again, I want to recall, faith is not hoping God can do something, but faith is really knowing that he will. It's the same as Peter. Peter, when he got out, was in the sea, very rough, the wave. And Peter and the rest of the disciples were in the boat, and they saw Jesus coming. They thought it's a ghost. But Peter was the one who says, really, Lord, if it is you, call me out. And Jesus knew, out. And Peter stepped out. The rest all secured. They dare not come up. But Peter stepped up. And in his faith, he came. And that is faith. Believing Jesus. And I believe that faith is believing for the miracles, even it hasn't come yet. Believing that healing takes place, but it's not taken place, you believe, and that's faith. Right? Thomas doubted God. He said, unless I see his wounds, I will not believe. Thomas doubted. But when Thomas saw, and this afternoon we're going to gather together to pray for every one of us, I say everyone, to receive God's healing. Yeah, the next, yeah, he came again, same. Can I, one more? Yeah. Same slide, one more slide. Okay, God can take a broken heart, right, and make it whole again. Our prayer this afternoon is this. Let's look at the next slide. Lord, I bring, to you my burdens, my sickness, or somebody's I love sickness on vicarious faith on behalf. You know my situation, and God knows. You know I can make it without you. Comfort my heart, give me strength, and help me carry on. And we're going to turn this time of time of ministry, but some instruction I need to give you. As we always do after hearing God's word, the altar is open for ministry. I want to encourage all of us to step up from your seat and come to Jesus. But some instruction here. You're going to listen to a video, and there will be a creative dance. After the video is being played, after the creative dance is being done, I want to encourage you to step up from where you're seated, right? As the video continues to play. As you come forward, take a ribbon. Okay, this is nothing fantastic, but it's, for me, visual is very important. Okay, by his stripes, we are healed. And what you're going to do is you take the ribbon and tie it onto the cross. Right? You can tie it any part of the cross. Yeah, tie any part. As you have given God your diseases, your burden and everything, it's a way of really seeing it, right? As you come forward, tie the ribbon. And after tying the ribbon, the ministry team, the ministry leaders will be here. We have opened up the stage bigger for you to come up, or you can stand. We have removed the pews. And we want this afternoon to receive God's healing, whatever you're going through. Let's prepare our hearts. Yeah, truly, we believe that the Holy Spirit will come. And I pray, my prayer is, Holy Spirit, come and minister.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your and all the while you hear each spoken need, your love is way too